Today's exposition is titled False Shepherds and the Good Shepherd's Beloved Sheep. When a certain senior saint was but a wee lassie, she took a job as a farmhand. Her responsibilities were pretty straightforward, or so it appeared. Bring the cows into the barn, wash them before they're milked. As it turned out, this simple task was not so simple. Try and try as she may, Nancy couldn't get the animals to follow her lead. They tuned her out because they did not recognize her voice. In desperation, Nancy tried bribing them, sweet-talking them. She even changed her outfit, all to no avail. This real-life story could be summarized in two words: stranger, danger. Stranger, danger. Jesus' Good Shepherd discourse does not include any introductory remarks, which suggests the audience from the ninth chapter hasn't changed. Jesus continues to address those certain false teachers that he spoke to specifically and directly in our Bibles in the ninth chapter, verse 41. Jesus' own disciples and interested bystanders listen intently nearby. In this beloved passage, Jesus further exposes the legalistic leaders of Pharisaic Judaism and every other false religion for what they truly are. He calls out all rulers, all leaders of not only what had become apostate Judaism, but every other false religion, and he calls them shepherds in name only, blind guides, thieves and robbers. Jesus also declares in this wonderful discourse who he is. And he is who he is, and he is so many things. And in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, the great I Am says specifically, this is who you need to understand that I am. This is what you need to recognize. And this should serve as such an encouragement to those of us who belong to the Lord. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. And by calling out false shepherds and identifying himself as the shepherd par excellence, in this passage, Jesus also seeks to encourage and comfort us. We are reminded how very blessed we are. By we, I mean any one of us who truly belongs to the Lord, that we have this great privilege of being led and guided by none other than the Son of God himself. And Jesus is the shepherd. He is the shepherd without equal. For true Christians, these verses should encourage us while simultaneously increasing our love and our appreciation for our shepherd par excellence. And in a way that only Jesus could, he protects the sheep by reminding them of the dangers of false shepherds and identifying characteristics so we can know who they are, that we might avoid them. He not only tells us what we need to know about himself in order to comfort and strengthen and encourage those of us who, by the grace of God, are part of the flock of God, but he also, in this passage, is evangelistic. There's a word for everyone in this text. For those of you who have yet to truly come to Christ, this passage beckons sinners to enter into God's sheep pen through the one and only door that is Christ. But don't take my word for it. Let's read at least a portion of this passage together. We continue now in our exposition of the Gospel of John, and we turn over now into the 10th chapter. Jesus speaking says this, verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he himself goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find green pasture." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus begins this discourse by painting a very sharp contrast between a true shepherd and false shepherds. You see, the plural is picked up on in verse 5, the voice of strangers. This commonplace comparison illustrates key differences between the good teacher, Jesus, and the bad shepherds of Pharisaic Judaism. A good teacher, a wise, a skilled man of God, and certainly a faithful shepherd, does all that he can to minister to his beloved flock. Not only does a true shepherd, a good shepherd, ward off enemies, but he also warns. He warns the flock. And that's exactly what we see Jesus doing here. We only have time this morning to highlight the marks of false shepherds and the good shepherd's beloved sheep. Who are these dangerous pretenders that Jesus calls out and that he continues to warn his sheep of? Whenever the 10th chapter of John's Gospel is read or preached today, how do we know when we're dealing with somebody who has somehow gained access to God's people, but has a sinister, maybe better said, a diabolical agenda? What are the marks of those who have been redeemed by the Lord, those who truly belong to God? Again, if in speaking of salvation and redemption, though all humans are created special in the image of God, we are not all God's children, not in the sense of spiritual children. Neither is everybody part of God's flock. What are the blessings? What are the benefits? What are the marks of those who belong to the Lord, those who are beloved by Christ? Let's look now at a few marks of false shepherds. When dealing with unbelieving clergy, Jesus reminds us that false shepherds are dangerous pretenders. The question that we should ask is, how do dangerous individuals gain access to vulnerable sheep? Notice verse 1. Here we see the first mark. False shepherds, number 1, can be quite sneaky. False shepherds can be quite sneaky. Sometimes they jump over walls of protection, like conniving thieves. Truly, truly, Jesus says, truly, truly, everything he said was true. Some things that he said were of first-rate importance. This is especially important that you understand this. Truly, truly, I say to you, the you there is plural. He's speaking to you as well as you and you and you as well. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. This verse reminds us of another passage of Scripture of what actually happened to real people and an actual church. Jude writes about it in his epistle, Jude 4. He wanted to write to encourage the church just to celebrate their common salvation, but he said that something has come up that is so urgent and there is a danger that is so imminent that he writes a 911 epistle. It's one of the reasons why the urgency of Jude's epistle is but 25 verses. And he says in Jude verse 4, what had taken place. This very thing has happened in America in great abundance. He says in Jude 4, for certain persons have crept in, that is, have somehow gained access to the church. They have snuck in. They have crept into the church unnoticed. In this case, he says, these are ungodly persons. And they were known. Obviously, false teachers don't come with a sign saying false teacher, pseudo shepherd. They claim to speak for God. Many denominations, many churches, many different clergy. How do you know who is safe and who is false? Who is like Christ and who is against Christ? Well, there, he said, eventually they were coming touting the grace of God. But the grace of God that they were touting, they were using as a cloak and a license for sin. This is the form of Christianity that we hear about with regularity. Most celebrity conversions, when you realize the kind of pastors that they're following, are those like described in Jude 4. They can have the world, but they can deal with their guilt and sin. They can have the best of both worlds, so they are told. The grace of God is turned into a license. These false shepherds, these dangerous pretenders, are like the Big Bad Wolf and Little Red Riding Hood. They are quite sneaky. You see that they will, by all means necessary, seek to gain access to God's people. This is not the way that a true shepherd doesn't have to come into the church in such a way. But notice this mark here. They gain access by climbing over the walls of protection, sneaking in into these community sheep pens. And Jesus says, those who are religious leaders that are not true followers of Jesus, therefore they are pseudo-shepherds. He calls them, verse 1, they are thieves and robbers. This stinging rebuke is specifically aimed at any religious pretender who denies Jesus' truth claims. Who is he dealing with here in this context? He's dealing with people who don't believe what Jesus said about himself. Today you would say this warning would bear true. Certainly the most immediate implication and application would be with anybody who denies that Jesus, for example, is the long-awaited Messiah. That Jesus is the King of the Jews. That Jesus is the light of the world. That Jesus is eternally divine. He said earlier, same context, same audience, as we move from chapter 9 to 10. We saw in chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the great I am. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Those who get Jesus wrong get the gospel wrong and must be called out. Again, not everybody who even says, I believe in Jesus and preaches to Jesus, you have to take these days, be very, very discriminating and discerning to try to determine, is the Jesus that they believe in and promoting, is that actually the historical biblical Jesus? Said differently, just because someone wears a black robe with a white collar, how should we think about people who are, oh, it's great that they've given themselves to to this religious cause. That's not what Jesus thought. Not if they're not true shepherds. Just because someone is part of the National Association of Evangelicals doesn't necessarily mean that they're an under-shepherd of Christ. Remember, the Pharisees were uber religious. They knew the Bible very well. Jesus calls them out. He undresses them. He calls them, in verse 1, thieves and robbers, who, verse 10, he says, they seek to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus minces no words when dealing with religious unbelievers, leaders of false religions, and even those who corrupt and contaminate orthodoxy and Christianity. Before we get to the tender tone of Christ highlighting his loving ministry to his own flock, Jesus was both tough and tender. This is the kind of men we need today leading families. Men like Jesus. Obviously, none of us are. Jesus is one of a kind, but he is, of course, the perfect shepherd. He is the ultimate role model. Jesus here uses strong language, and this language is even not even nearly as intense as what we find in Matthew chapter 23. What do I think about the imams and the priests? Those who preach a different Christ and a different gospel, what should we say about them? Well, we should say no more and no less than that which the Word of God says. That's how we should view them. That's how we should treat them. And it's on this point that I realize in saying this that for some of you, this doesn't sit very well, this tone. You know, calling out people, naming names. This is just against the what has become the new way in which evangelicals are taught to think. You know, we'll never reach the lost in false religions or those who are Christian in name only if we speak like this. I'm sure you have heard criticism like that which Jesus received. Why are you Christians so judgmental? Why are you so intolerant? Why do you lament the teaching of the Pope? Well, because he's like the leaders of Pharisaic Judaism. He's the blind leading the blind. And Jesus said of these men that they turned their devoted disciples into twice the sons of hell. When people, the tone police, come out even within the church, and object to this kind of language, even when speaking about false shepherds. And they're just flabbergasted and shocked that anyone, let alone a pastor, would say such things. It always leaves me scratching my head. And I wonder, generally, silently, when somebody comes and pushes back in this way, particularly somebody who claims to be a Christian, do you not know the Bible? Have you never read Matthew 23? Are you not familiar with the teaching of John 10? Have you never read Galatians? If any man preaches another gospel, if even an angel from heaven preaches a different Christ, let him be damned, Paul says. 1 and 2 John, if somebody says this about Jesus or denies this about Jesus, he is somebody walking in the darkness. The truth is not in him. Give not even a platform for any such teacher. Show no hospitality to anyone who claims to represent God who preaches that message. Have you never read the book of Jude, 2 Peter? While we're on this topic, why does Jesus and his apostles employ such polarizing, polemical language when addressing false teachers and pseudo-shepherds? What I'm trying to say to you is what you find here in John 10, verse 1, and the rest of this discourse about false shepherds, as Jesus paints a distinction between the true shepherd and all false shepherds, that this is really just par for the course. I mean, why such thieves, robbers? People who have intentions to destroy, to divide, to kill. Why does Jesus speak like this when highlighting religious leaders who know not the Lord? Because some of the most spiritually harmful people in any society are unconverted clergy. True shepherds understand this. One of the qualifications of an elder, an under-shepherd, Titus 1, 5 through 7, is that they need to be able to exhort in sound doctrine and, the missing and be willing and able to refute those who contradict it. Sheep are vulnerable. We may not like to admit what God says is true concerning who we are spiritually speaking, but the truth is the truth. Sheep need shepherds. And sometimes these dangerous pretenders, they speak of Jesus, talk of grace, love, tolerance. And they gain an audience. Even good churches with walls, sometimes they find their way jumping over walls. For those of you that believe that wolves in sheep's clothing, the false shepherds don't, again, generally come saying, "Hey, I'm a minister of Satan." They disguise themselves wearing the clothing that shepherds would wear, wolves in sheep's clothing. For those of you that think, well, Jesus needed to say that in this context because it was true, but you know, today we don't have such problems, I would encourage you to reread church history. And I would start in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Go from John 10 to Acts 20, 29. You don't need to turn there. But Paul said this. Paul was a pastor's pastor. And Paul said, Acts 20, 29, "For I know this, that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." I once wondered why the University Wake Forest, their mascot, you know what it is? The Demon Deacons. Demon Deacons? Just pastor for a while and you'll know. This church is blessed. My brother Deacon Jeff laughed aloud. we are blessed here to have godly servant deacons. But clearly, there's been enough experience in Baptist circles with people that, you know, aren't who they seem to be. I know after I leave, when the shepherd's gone, savage wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. He's calling the elders of the church, the pastors of the church, that they will need you more than you know. Back to John 10. This good shepherd discourse should be interpreted against the backdrop of Ezekiel 34, the passage that we had read during the scripture reading. It should be read and understood. Jesus is using a familiar image, not only with people who are around sheep and shepherds, but also those people who were familiar with the Old Testament. They would have been familiar with these two passages, Psalm 23 and Ezekiel 34. This brings us then to a second mark. Not only are false shepherds quite sneaky, but Jesus says, secondly, false shepherds are unknown to God's flock, and thus shouldn't be trusted. False shepherds are unknown to God's flock, and thus should not be trusted. I say stranger, you say danger. Simple, silly, but true. Stranger, danger. Stranger, danger. Where am I getting that from? From Jesus. A true shepherd comes through the front door, known by the gatekeeper. He's a shepherd of the sheep. To him, verse 3, the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them. The sheep follow him. Why do they follow him? Because they know his voice. Notice the sharp contrast, verse 5. And a stranger. Stranger, you say, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him. Why? Parallelism. Because they do not know the voice of strangers. Some of you parents are doing a good job of protecting your kids from the dangerous predators that are out there. Sadly, too many of them released from prisons. It is equally important that you seek to protect them and warn them of spiritual dangers. There are many false shepherds in Christian colleges, seminaries. False teachers promoting false doctrine on Christian radio through music. As it's been said, there's very few Christian bookstores that have made it over the years, but when you find one, when you trip over all the potpourri and finally find a book, many of the books that are supposed to be safe under the title, what in heaven are Christian publishers printing under the banner of Christian? Here Jesus says, false shepherds, secondly, are unknown, then they should not be trusted. We need to know Jesus well enough and walk with him closely enough, know his word well enough, and have it be in our hearts that we would not be easily taken advantage of by the many spiritual pretenders that are out there. Jesus, the New Testament, I should say, the apostles said that things are going to go from bad to worse, and it's only going to get worse, meaning there's going to be more people out there like these unconverted, very religious Pharisees. I want you to keep in mind something. In the first century, this is an imagery that's not as familiar to us, but these sheep pens would often house multiple flocks. So the question then is, well, if there's multiple flocks, imagine our congregation spread out with a couple other Christian congregations. You say, well, how do you know who belongs to who? And then you put in a smattering of, you know, just other animals. Unlike cattle, sheep aren't branded with a giant JC on their hide. You know, that cattle belongs to this person, this person, this person. So when they're all together and they go out to pasture, or in this case, all the sheep together, how do you know? How do they know like that this that they belong to that shepherd, not that shepherd? When the true shepherd, in this context, Jesus, calls his sheep by name, the true flock recognizes the voice of their shepherd and instinctively follow him. So I want to conclude our time today by highlighting, we've looked at these dangerous pretenders that Jesus is calling out on, dressing, warning of, in the audience of those bystanders and his own disciples who are listening in. But I want to end on a high note, concluding three marks of the Good Shepherd's beloved sheep. Three marks of the Good Shepherd's beloved sheep. Am I talking about you today? Let's see. Mark number one. The Lord's sheep, number one, they know who they belong to. The Lord's sheep know who they belong to. You've been bought with a price, beloved. You've been redeemed. As we saw in John 9, he sought you. He bought you with his precious blood. If you're a Christian, you belong to the Good Shepherd. Did you notice how majestically personal a believer's spiritual relationship with Jesus is? You say, well, man, this is one church comprised of mainly believers, but make up a very small part of the flock of God, universal. I mean, you say, as the church grows, does it become more difficult to know, you know, to know your sheep? To know their name, know their strengths and weaknesses, and yeah, of course. That's the responsibility. This is why the Lord asked many men to serve in this way. But what about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one whom is the focus of John chapter 10? He has a very large flock. Do you ever wonder when you pray to him? Hey, it's me. If you're attending on others, and you have so many. Notice verse 3. Notice how majestically intimate and personal this relationship that we enjoy. This is the Good Shepherd. This is Jesus. He calls his own sheep. He's got a flock. He calls his own sheep by name. By name, he calls us. Hey, Christine, Marie, Josh, Evan. We love him because he first loved us. We know him. We belong to him. And that's a blessing. But the wonder of all wonders is that Jesus is not ashamed to identify himself with us. The wonder of wonders is that the Good Shepherd, with this very large flock that is only growing, that he knows our name. He knows us personally. He knows the trial you're going through, the pain that you're experiencing, the doubts that you have, the besetting sins that you struggle with. He knows our every weakness. Hebrews 2, 11 to 18. Look at verse 14. This is a mutual thing. This is a relationship. Jesus is, among many things, he is the Good Shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me. What a blessing. of all blessings. You know, people are just looking for, you know, they say, you know, the kind of television shows I watch, I understand they're strange, but a lot of criminal justice and things like this. What draws people to these violent, meddlesome, debaucherous gangs? In many cases, it's not justifying their choice and the things they do, but they're looking for a community. People that know them, they have a group to belong. Who do you belong to? Ultimately, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23 is not only David's song, it's ours. That's a wonder of wonders. Yahweh is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. Jesus, the Son of God, is my shepherd. Therefore I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We don't have to fear evil. Why? Because He's always with us. Jesus is Yahweh, our good shepherd. Number one, the Lord's sheep know who they belong to. Jesus says, I know who I am and why I'm here. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own. But He also says this, my own know me. Secondly, second mark, the Lord's sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. Number two, the Lord's sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd, and thus they don't listen to or follow just any Yahoo. By recognizing the voice of Christ in Scripture, God's people, listen, they know who to listen to and they know who to tune out. Allah 2 John 1:7 through 11. The Lord's people flee from imposters who seek to fleece undiscerning sheep. The Lord's sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd and thus do not follow or listen to just any Yahoo. Verse 4, when He puts forth all His own, He goes before them. This is the true shepherd. That's what He does, and this is what the sheep do. The sheep follow Him. They follow Him because they what? They know His voice. Do you know the voice? We're not talking about wacky Jesus calling. We're talking about the voice of Christ so clearly heard in the pages of Scripture, speaking to our hearts. We know. We know Him. We recognize His voice. Verse 5. We don't follow just any Yahoo. It's not like, well, if I wasn't in biblical Christianity, you know, I'd find another religion. No, it's this and only this. Because there's only one. Jesus only shepherds one flock. And I'm not talking about denominationalism here. I'm talking about genuine Christianity. True Christians, that's who Jesus is speaking of here. True believers. Listen, we recognize His voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will run from them because they do not know the voice of a stranger. I say stranger, you say thank you. The only reason you sheep listen to me every Sunday is because I share God's holy word with you. That's the standard. That's the expectation. Do that, we'll pay your bills. Don't do that, you'll be out on the street. That's God's calling. 1 Peter 4:10. 2 Timothy 4. I simply proclaim the word of Christ. The only reason you follow we pastors and elders is because we, to use the language of 1 Peter 5, we are under-shepherds of the chief shepherd, who is Jesus. The only reason you follow us is because we ourselves follow him. And this is what Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord's sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd, and thus they do not listen to or follow just any yahoo. Number three. This one is encouraging and challenging at the same time. Do you belong to the Lord? Have you entered in through the door that is Christ and Christ alone? Number three, the Savior's beloved sheep trust their good shepherd through a pandemic. We trust him. The Savior's beloved sheep trust their good shepherd and thus, listen to me, and thus follow him wherever he leads. Wherever he says go, we follow him. Look at the middle part of verse 3. We're learning something about ourselves. We're learning something about false pseudo-shepherds. We're learning something about true shepherds and the shepherd par excellence, Jesus. We'll focus more on that last one next time we're together. But here, verse 3, end of the verse, he calls his own sheep. I love that, his own sheep. Multiple flocks. He knows who's in the sheep pen. I know who's mine. He calls them by name. He leads them out. You know, how do you know if you're a leader? Well, if nobody's following you, you're not a leader. How do you know that you're following someone? Well, if you're not following someone, you're not a part of the group. You know, you're not a Christian if you're not following Jesus. So stop saying that. Verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. They follow him wherever he goes, wherever he leads, they follow him. Why? Because they trust him, because they know him. Over the holidays, I would encourage you to try and help your unsaved friends and family understand that out of all the religions of the world, you know, variations that are Christian in name only to every false religion, out of all the thousands of religions in the world, humanly speaking, we choose biblical Christianity. Why? Because of who its founder and good shepherd is. It's all because Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not Joseph Smith or Brigham Young. We don't follow them. False shepherds. Don't recognize their voice. We're not Mormon. It's not the Church of Jesus Christ. They snuck in. They've been duped, fleeced. They're the mission field. It's not the Pope. We only have one Father, one spiritual Father, one Holy Father. It's not me. It's not the Pope. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. He alone is the chief shepherd. It's not Muhammad. It's not Confucius. It's not Mary Baker Eddy. We're Christians. And it comes on this because of Jesus. Some of his under-shepherds, you know, they're mortals. Sometimes they fail. Heartbreaking. But we remain because of him. It's the one and only Jesus, Son of God, who willingly laid down his perfect life for his sheep. That's how much this shepherd loves his own. He came knowing what the mission was. He came willingly. The plan that had been drawn up by the members of the Godhead. We know who we are. We know who we belong to. We recognize his voice. We follow him wherever he leads. And we do so joyfully, willingly. We sing songs like, "The King of Love, the King of Love, my shepherd is. His goodness faileth never." So even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not panicking like everybody else. I have a lot more to say about our good shepherd, but I can sense that the sheep are hungry. Sometimes I care not, because the spiritual food is more important. But today, the Lord has prepared for us both, so we'll save those remarks for next time. Would you bow with me in prayer? With the songwriter, we say and pray and sing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much, much we need thy tough yet tender care. In thy pleasant green pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Lord, we stand in awe and wonder. Remarkably, that thou, our shepherd, hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we often be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse, and power to set us free. We've experienced your grace, your mercy, and your liberating power in Christ. And so we say, blessed Jesus, thou hast sought and bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.